It's hardcore history.
And it's interesting to wonder about the human side of these sorts of activities, because people today think, how could any of these individuals have conducted something like that? How do you shoot women and children in pits and just keep doing it all day long till 33,000 of them are lying there? It almost seems like these are different creatures than we are. We have to account, though, for the fact that they were brutalized by governmental systems that encouraged that kind of behavior and that mode of thinking, and that we're more capable of that as a species than we think we are. There was a whole line of thinking that took place after the war was over at the Nuremberg trials, where we were prosecuting the main Nazi leaders for war crimes. And many of these Nazi leaders said at the time that they shouldn't be held responsible for what happened because they were merely following orders. And the judges from all the Allied countries said, that's no excuse. And what they were basically saying was, you have a duty to oppose orders like this. And that sounds like a very high moral road to travel. But we forget a little bit how we might act in the same situation. I mean, imagine if they threaten you or your family with death, imprisonment, torture, for opposing the regime and not doing what you're told. There were some very interesting critiques made by people from totalitarian regimes, exactly why they were able to get human beings to do these kind of things. There was a German surgeon who was appalled by SS atrocities, and he wrote, quote, "The ingenious way totalitarian states, by making people who oppose government policy simply disappear, deny their opponents the opportunity to die a martyr's death for their convictions." Now, this is almost exactly what a Russian writer wrote. He said about the Soviet system, quote, "You become an accomplice to the system even though you're an adversary, because you are unable to express disapproval even if you are willing to pay with your life," end quote. What these people are saying is that instead of being able to stand up there and die for the cause, to have a martyr's death where your death actually accomplishes something, in these totalitarian systems, they simply made you disappear. No one knew what happened to you, and no one knew why you died. So not only do you get to be tortured and killed by the Gestapo or the NKVD, and then have your family likely punished as well, but these regimes manage to make your sacrifices meaningless at the same time. And we like to think we would act so differently, but how many of us would have been prepared to see our wife and children and parents tortured or sent away to an uncertain fate in concentration camps to avoid participating in such evil ourselves? I like to think I'd be one of them, but that's a heck of an assumption to make while I'm sitting here in the comfort of my own, you know, free society. It does make the effort, though, of those who did resist these terrible regimes that much more astounding, brave, and admirable, doesn't it? What would you have done? Could any of us have been Nazis or NKVD killers? And how many of us would be alive had we not been able to do that and lived in those kind of systems? You know, you think about it this way. How many Americans, for example, even protested the internment of Japanese Americans in camps during the Second World War? Precious few, if any. And that situation was far less evil, and the ramifications of protesting far less than in any of these cases. Imagine if our government would have put you in a concentration camp for such a conscientious stand. It's easy to judge these people when we haven't walked a mile in their moccasins. Well, in 1961, a little over 15 years after the Second World War ended, a Yale University researcher decided to conduct an experiment to try to figure out exactly how far people would be willing to follow unethical orders, maybe even evil orders, if they came from an authority figure. Now, there was widespread interest at the time because the Israelis were trying a fugitive war criminal, a Nazi war criminal that they had captured named Adolf Eichmann. And that same refrain that happened at the Nuremberg trials over and over was being uttered, this idea that I was just following orders. And the West was mostly disgusted at that sort of a excuse, saying that it was the responsibility of all good citizens to resist, you know, carrying out unethical and evil orders. So this Milgram experiment, as it became to be called at Yale University, was intended to find out exactly how many people would be willing to carry out an unethical order if an authority figure commanded it. And the way the experiment worked was this. Ads were put in the paper asking for people who would volunteer to teach to learners. And these people showed up at the clinic. They sat down at a console that had buttons, and they were told that on the other side of the wall, they couldn't see this person, but they could hear them, was a learner. And they were supposed to ask questions of the learner, and if the learner on the other side of the wall got the question wrong, the teacher, the volunteer, was supposed to push a button that delivered an electric shock to the learner on the other side of the wall. Now, initially, the electric shock was small, but for each successive question that the learner got wrong, the shock would increase in voltage. So if you got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 questions wrong, you're starting to deliver a significant shock. Eventually, at the end of the voltage scale, you were reaching 400, 450 volt levels. Now, the electrical shocks, of course, weren't real. That's just what the subjects in the experiment were told they were inflicting in terms of pain on another person. And what would happen is, eventually, you know, the learner was told to get these questions wrong, so the teacher, the volunteer, would continue to push the buttons. Now, eventually, they would come to a point because the person on the other side of the wall, the learner, would start to groan, would start to react to the shocks. You would hear eventually screams and then banging on the walls. You know, eventually they would say something like, I have a heart condition. Please stop shocking me. And a lot of these people, the study said, would turn to the researcher and say, can I stop? Or that person sounds sick, or I don't want to do this anymore. And the authority figure, the researcher, would say, you must continue. The experiment requires it. You have no option. You must go on. They would continue to shock this person until the person would stop making noise altogether, as though they'd passed out or were hurt or were dead or whatever. And people still delivered the shocks because that was considered to be a non-response to the question, a wrong answer on the test. Had to shock them again, even though they sound injured. Folks, more than 60% of the Americans in this experiment were willing to give the maximum shock to the person on the other side of the wall several times. 450 volts to a person that sounded like they were already gone. What Milgram's experiment showed is that even people raised in a system that values human rights highly, that had lived through the Nuremberg trials in the Second World War and were indoctrinated into the idea that resistance to unethical orders was every, you know, good human being's duty, more than half of them were willing to do this because an authority figure commanded them to. Now imagine how different those results would be were we dealing with people raised instead in a totalitarian system of government, one that dehumanized people every day, one that taught that people were subhuman, that taught values completely contradictory to the idea that you should stand up and resist orders given if you thought they were unethical. What's more, the people who were participating in this experiment were not going to have anything bad happen to them or their families if they didn't carry out the orders. It was perfectly voluntary. And they still did it. What would happen if you had some regime telling you that if you didn't do this, you or your family were going to be punished harshly for not carrying out such orders? It's very easy to say that you have a duty to stand up and resist unethical orders. It's another thing entirely to do so when under the gun. As Russian author Vasily Grossman has said, quote, "The extreme violence of totalitarian systems proved able to paralyze the human spirit through whole continents." What you have here in this war of extermination in Eastern Europe is the human spirit paralyzed and acting out in the most evil of ways, ways that we may think ourselves exempt from, but that we probably aren't.
Get more hardcore history at dancarlin.com.